And yes, God has been good to us. He has brought out and allowed Pastor Etheridge and his lovely wife Julie to make it back out. So I want you guys to know from the bottom of my heart, as usual, I love you guys. Been a tremendous blessing to me and Karina and to North Oaks Baptist Church. And then Pastor Kirby, David Kirby, thank you for coming out. This is my first time getting to meet him, but indeed he is a man filled with the Holy Spirit, and it has been a blessing. So I'm looking forward to getting with you and having some coffee or some lunch and kind of catch up a little bit. Family, I'm here to introduce Pastor Etheridge. It's not something that's really hard because we all know him. But what I would like to do is to say he has brought some material out. The Lord is using him in a mighty way. He has written some amazing books, and he has one that is being translated currently into Spanish that he will be able to reach even more souls. So I would ask, if you would, on your way out, we've given a lot of gifts to a lot of people, but why don't you give a gift to yourself and be a blessing to his ministry? There's a table out front, several of his books, and then even still, if you want to just be a blessing as he seeks to get this translation done. I think you're about three quarters of the way. And you can also be a blessing to him to help him get that done, but it would be, I would appreciate it. Now, having said that, we love God in this place and we honor the word of God. And the singing is great and the fellowship is great too, but we know that we have come to be fed and the Lord has provided a man to bring his word. And having said that, I would ask if we would honor the man of God by standing to our feet and giving God a hand clap of praise for delivering him into our home this day. None other than Pastor Ed Etheridge. My friend, come on up. These things are really easy to do when the person is your friend. Come Love in. You, man of God.
Love you, appreciate it.
Nice and short for us.
You be seated. It's really good to be with you. As I tell people that I really don't know, at my age, it's just good to be anywhere. And church is the better place to be, so I'm grateful for the opportunity. I appreciate your pastor. He and I meet periodically to have coffee and to visit and fellowship and encourage one another about ministry in the church. And so it's my privilege and honor to be here today and to share the word with you. If you would, take your Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And while you're turning there, I'm reminded of the time that I spent here and what the Lord did in my life and in the life of the church. But the main thing is that the future's before you. The key is, will you seize it? Will you seize it? There's something the Lord's put in my heart over the last few months that I share everywhere I go. And the first thing it is that God didn't save you to go to church. He saved you to be the church. Amen. So, that's the question. How do we become the church? Now I want to ask you a question. How many of you believe that this is the infallible, inerrant, verbally inspired Word of God without error?
Amen.
All right. That's good, but the key is, are you living it? That's the question. Not that you believe it, that's important. But if the church doesn't live it, not much is going to happen. So you see, we come and we hear sermons, and honest truth is, the Lord didn't come or ask you to come and hear a sermon. He came to ask you to ingest the sermon, that it becomes a part of your life. Teaching, preaching is not the doing of man. It is God's purpose. And that's why he sent the prophets of old. And if you look at Scripture, and if you studied it, and since you know that it's the Word of God, you will know that people had trouble because they preached the Word. I.e. Jeremiah. You know, in comparison to Jeremiah, I've had no trouble in my life whatsoever. None. Zero. Nobody stuffed me into a cistern and left me to die. I've had no problems such as John Bunyan, who was not a prophet, but he was a preacher of old. And John Bunyan wrote the book, what? Most read book ever other than the Bible. Where was it written? Prison. 12 years. Bunyan was in prison. So, in the days, hear the term, in the days we have left, what shall we do? What shall we do? Because you see, I'm smart enough to know for me, Brother Chris, that the window is narrowing. I was born in 1946. That's light years ago. Today is about to be 2026. How much time do you have? You don't know. But what will they do with the time that you have? That's the question. So let's look at the text today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want to give you some, I can't encourage you enough to do this. I wish that I had brought pens and tablets for everybody. One of the richest things you will ever do in your Christian life, hear me, is begin to take notes. Write things in the margin of the Bible. I have a wide margin Bible. You can see right there, I write in it. Why? Just to be honest, I don't remember everything I hear. Some of the things I hear, I don't want to remember. And so those I don't write down. But quotes, I have one that I wrote down in my Bible here in the very front of it by John Phillips, Old Testament scholar, said this, "Age is no factor, no excuses when God asks us to give. Never too old, too weak, or too ignorant. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me, is true no matter what I am or what age I am." Amen. It's true. The question is, will we embrace it and will we live it? The title of the message this morning, since you're going to take some notes, is what if? What if? Think through the message. Think through the thought. Father, we pray you'd bless this time. Lord, I pray only you would be heard. And only you would be glorified. We give you praise and thanksgiving for the word, for your truth. May we embrace it and live it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll give you a couple of things just to get started into the text. Number one, I want you to see something. In this passage from verse 12 to verse 18, there are 13 imperatives. What's an imperative? It is a command. May I say to you, write this down as a quote from Ed Etheridge, this Bible is not a suggestion book. It is filled with imperatives. He's commanding. That's what the word means. They're commands. This is what you're to do to live this life. And not only that, in this passage in 12 through 18, or through 21, 11 times a word is used. 11 times. You know what the word is? You. You know what the word is? You. You. This message is not to the church in general. It is to you. You. Will you receive it? Will you hear it? And will you do with it what God wants you to do? I pray you will. Look at verse 12, if you would, please. Paul writes, now if you look at the first part, it goes 1 through 11 and gives you about the day of the Lord, when the Lord's coming, things that are going to happen. We come to verse 12 and he says this, we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. Four times in that verse, he uses the word you. You. It's not about your neighbor. It's about you. It's about me. What will I do with this passage? It's the action here that takes, that encourages the brethren that we're, one of the very first things, I wrote it down this way, you appreciate your pastor. That's what he's saying. You appreciate him. Why? Because of the nice way he dresses, or the car he drives, or the education he has. No, you appreciate him because of the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God and the ministering to the saints in the time of difficulty. You appreciate him. We're not to be set on a pedestal. I am a servant. I am a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want nothing special from anyone. The specialty to me is when people come to me and say, I got it. I heard it. I received it. I've got it. And I'm going to live it for his glory. I love that when people come and say it. So the bottom line is we appreciate. Preach what he preaches. Pray for him. Live in peace together. Have you already sung the songs and read the scripture to live in peace together? My goodness, is there a need for peace in the world today? But where should it start? Right here. In the church. There should be peace to the praise of his glory. We request of you, brethren, that you appreciate. The word, really, when he talks about, he says, diligently, those who diligently labor among you, they grow weary. I will tell you, pastoring a church is wearisome. If you study and you preach and you teach 2-3 times a week, that's enough right there to take care of your week, if it's done right, without question. But there's other things that go with it. That's where you come in. That's where you can make that visit. That's where you can share your faith with that person. That's where you can be a part of the ministry. How can I, Brother Gabriel, how can I help you this week? What can I do for you this week? The great joy of me was the last church I pastored in Carrollton, Texas, Wood Lake Baptist Church. Went there, that's running about 80 or 90, and the Lord blessed us all the way up to right at 300. But my people were on board with me. They loved me. We served together. The pastor serves with the people, and the people serves with the pastor. And that develops appreciation among the body and among one another. So it says, request of you. We request of you. Please do this, is what Paul is saying. Please do this. You appreciate them. Literally, the word can translate from appreciate to know. Know them. Know them. Find out about them. Know them. What makes them tick? Know them. Know their giftedness. Know their desires. Know their likes and dislikes. Know them. I never was standoffish to my people. I was always among them, those that would let me be among them. You get that in a minute. Diligently labor among you and have charge over you. Is that what the scripture said? What does that mean? Have charge over you. It means to preside. It literally means to rule. It means to govern. Listen, folks, Jesus is the head of the church, but he's got to have a partner. God sent the man. God sent the pastor. God sent Paul. God sent Timothy. They all were pastors. Titus. They were men of God, and they pastored his church, shepherd that church. Love that church is what he's saying. And they had the charge over you. Listen to me very carefully. You know anything about sheep? Don't tell me they're dumb, because they're not. They're really not. You can train them to do anything if you spend the time. Sheep must have a shepherd. What does a shepherd do? He leads. True?
Yes, sir.
He leads. What do the sheep do?
Follow.
Thank you. Write that down and remind yourself you said it. Follow. They work charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. The word instruction translates to admonish or to exhort. That's what he wants you to do. He literally stands over you. He stands in guard of you. How's the best way Gabriel Orr can stand over you and guard you? It is by preaching to you the word of God, you receiving the word of God, and putting on the armor of God. And when you do that, you can make it through this world. Admonish, exhort. Then he says in verse 13, and that you esteem them very highly. Word simply means respect. Not just the man, but his calling. You do understand that Gabriel Orr and myself, we're doing what we do because we have been called. It's not a place of employment. It is not a job. I do what I do at the age I am because I am called to do it. And in my opinion, and I believe I'm right, it never ends. The calling does not end. My calling ends when I can't speak. My calling ends when I can't think. My calling ends when I die. I've been asking the Lord over the last 10 years, let me preach till I'm 85 years old. I said, Lord, that's getting close. Let's move this up to 90. I want to continue. Why? Because I love people. Nothing thrills me more than the lights to come on and say, hey, there's more to this Christian life than going to church on Sunday. Amen. It's a 7 day, 365 days, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We live for the Lord. It's not just the day of rest and the day of Sabbath. It is we live for the Lord to the glory of God and the praise of Him. Amen. That's what He wants the church to do. Acts that keeps us from falling. We do not quench the spirit. Look at verse 9. And he finishes verse 13 with live in peace with one another. Live in peace with one another. Verse 14, we urge you. Literally that work, go back to the word work in 13. It literally means to weariness, to tired. Doing this work is tiresome. It's not ditch digging work. It's not roofing work. It's mentally and spiritually tiring as you do what God's called you to do. And Paul is saying, this is what I do. This is who I am. And this is what the pastors are to do. That you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. And listen carefully. I've been doing this for 53 years. I've pastored 6 churches. I've done 22 interims. That's not brag, that's just fact. If all of those people that I dealt with and met, when they had a difficulty or they had a misunderstanding of something I'd done, if they had all come to me and asked me, what did you really mean? I would have graciously answered that question. It doesn't do any good to go and ask somebody else and say, well, what do you think the preacher meant this morning? Come and ask the preacher. If you misunderstood it, which is easily done, I've done that. Be willing to humble yourself and say, hey, can I ask you a question? What do you think about this? I'm thinking, and if he says, well, no, that's not really what the text said, then you buy into that. And you move on for his glory. Verse 14, we urge you, encourage. We encourage you, brethren, admonish. It's a picture of encouragement, the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted. Look for someone that's hurting and help them. The church must get outside of itself. I'm going to share a personal thing with you, and I don't want you to think this is a look at me. The last 2 years or 3 years, I've been doing something on the day before Christmas Eve. I go to a grocery store, and I look for moms with a baby or two. And I look and try to see if they have a ring on. And if they don't, I think that may be a single mom. And I will go to her and I say, how are you doing today? And most of the time they'll say, fine. I said, I'm an old guy. I said, I've got grandkids. And I just want to say, hey, your kids are great. But I want to ask you a question. I said, you going to have a good Christmas? Well, yeah. And I said, would you like to have a better Christmas? And they say, Well, yeah. And I say, I want you to do something. I said, what's that? And I reach in my pocket and I give him some money. Not a dollar, okay? But I give him some money. And I say, you get that baby something that she wants or he wants. The first did a little girl, came down the aisle and she had one of those little three deals of applesauce. Three of them in there. She holds it up to her mama. And her mama says, and I heard her, I'm right here by her. She says, oh, honey, we can't get that today. And I handed her a bill and I said, yes, you can. You get that baby some applesauce. That's to him. That's to him. I'm just being obedient to what God's asked me to do. Listen to me very carefully when I make this statement. And I want you to lean on it. I want you to peel it back. And I want you to look at it and embrace it. It is not your life. Period. Not your life. If you're a born again believer, it's his life. And he wants to live through you for his glory. Church, be Jesus to somebody. That's Christmas. That's Christmas. Touching lives. I can tell you something real clear, and I know there's kids in the room, but that's okay. I ain't no Santa Claus. But there is a Savior. And he is my provider. And he is your provider, and he wants you to use your resources to help someone else to the praise of his glory. He says, help the faint-hearted. What does that word faint-hearted mean? It's without hope. They're people that demonstrate and look as death has behold them. They're faint-hearted. They're weak. Spiritually weak is what he's speaking of here in this passage. And be patient. What's this word? Be patient with everyone. I am not a patient man. I know that. I battle it. I fight it. Just to say it where you understand it, I have a real impatient problem with stupid drivers. And my wife knows it. Sitting at a red light. Light turns green. I'm sitting behind them. They're talking on their phone. And I'll say out loud, nobody can hear me. What's your problem? I am impatient. I know I'm impatient. And God's working on that. I'm much better than I used to be. And no question about that. His grace abounds. Faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. You know what all means? All. All people. These are commands. This is that list of commands I told you. These are not suggestions from the scripture. They're commands. And God wants us to be obedient to him. He says, do not quench the spirit, do not reject the truth. Can I tell you something? If you don't know this already, the truth wounds, the truth cuts, and the truth hurts. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. And the dividing of people one to the other. The word is a dividing agent. Charlie Kirk was killed because of the word of God. Because of truth. The apostle Paul was beheaded because of truth. Stephen died because of truth. Jesus died on the cross because of truth. We're to be truth bearers in every way. See that which is good for one another and for all people. Verse 16, 17, 18. Now, you ready? He says this. Rejoice always. This is action that helps us take hold of God. Takes a hold of him. Rejoice always. Look to him. Philippians 4:4, you know the verse? Rejoice always, and again I say, rejoice. How can you rejoice in your trouble? Because you can rejoice in your trouble because he's in the trouble with you. And you rejoice in that. Habakkuk says, in that little book of prophet, he says to the people, the Chaldeans are coming. I can't do one thing about it. You can't do a thing about it, but they're coming and they're upon us. But he says, the one thing I can do, I can exalt in the Lord. Though there's no cattle in the stall, there's no hay in the field, there's no chicken eggs anywhere, there's nothing, but I can rejoice. The song says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Even in when it's painful, rejoice always. Look to him. James 1:2, James said, nothing takes away my joy, even in the midst of my trouble and the difficulty that comes to me. In that passage, he's talking about evil things that come. He says, I rejoice. And then he says, pray without ceasing. I think I told you this before one time, but my son-in-law, Brett Johnson, did a survey basically to the staff at Champion Forest on prayer. And he talked to them about what they prayed for. And 82% of what they paid for was physical. I do think that we need to spend more time praying for the spiritual needs of people rather than their cut thumb or because they have a sore throat. That's what we get. What about the person you know? Do you know anyone? Listen, do you know anyone that used to go to church? Used to teach Sunday school? Used to be a deacon? Do you know them? Do you know anyone? Pray for them. Love them. Pray for them. The physical is going to take care of itself for the most part. No need to worry about it. I'm not saying you don't pray for it. I'm not saying you don't do it. I'm saying that we do it to the exclusion of spiritual reality. Pray always. It's an attitude of prayer to pray without ceasing. It's a mind set on him, your mindset. If you've been sitting, reading a book, and all of a sudden you realize that your mind has gone somewhere else and you're thinking about a certain person or a situation, what the Lord's looking for in our life. Remember Paul and Silas in the jailhouse in Acts 16? What did they do? They began to praise the Lord and shout and have a big time. God rolled down a hunk of glory and broke the jailhouse door down. Because they acted right. See, that's the key statement. God's looking for you and me to act right, do right, be right for the glory of God. It's not about, I'll say it again as I started, it's not about being at church. It's about being the church. I'm encouraging you. I am not coming down on you. I'm encouraging you to be the people that the book says you are. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Now watch what he says here in verse 18. In everything, everything. You'll need to define that. In everything, do what? In everything, give thanks. Why? Because he parallels that and says, for this is the will of God for you. Praise the Lord. Lord, I'm not feeling well today. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. But I thank you that I'm with you, and I thank you'll get me over this, and I'll do it tomorrow. Well, that's okay. I've been days I didn't feel like doing much. Older I get, the more days come in a row. But God wants to bless us. God wants to use us no matter age. Give thanks in all things. It's what? Mark this down. Develop, God wants you to develop an attitude of gratitude. Attitude of gratitude. Thankful for the roof over your head. Thankful for the food in the cupboard. If you don't have any in your cupboard, you come and see me after church. You'll have some. Thankful for the bed you sleep in. Thankful for the car you drive. Young people, children, thankful for your parents. Parents, thankful for your children, grandchildren. It's an attitude, is it not? It's an attitude of thanksgiving. We don't just give thanks on Thanksgiving. We give thanks all the time because God is with us and for us. Give thanks in all things. I used this one time. I wasn't going to do it today, but I think I will. I told my church in Pasadena, I preached this there. Matter of fact, I preached this the first time back in 1982. And I've added to it since and changed it some. But I thought that the people at my church needed murmurer's license. Gabriel actually told my wife one day, I said, you know what I'm going to do? She said, there's no telling. I said, I'm going to go down here and buy me some of these great big pacifiers. You ever seen them? About that big on the end. And someone put one on every pew. And she said, Ed Etheridge, you can't do that. I said, I know it, but I sure want to. Most complaining, whining, critical majority I've been around in my life. And I mean, some of them may be listening, but that's the truth. I won't apologize. But I didn't do that. But I did think about the murmurer's license. You know how you don't need a murmurer's license? You don't need one if you show up for all services. You don't need one if you attend revival meetings. You don't need one if you give regularly and generously and praise for his goodness. You don't need a murmurer's license if you just go out for a minute and pray for an hour. You don't need a murmurer's license if you complain scripturally, Matthew 18. What's he saying? Get your heart right. Look at, do the introspection and see where you are and what you're thinking, your mindset. Are you working, wanting to come to the place where you rejoice always and pray without ceasing and give thanks in all things? We should be. Let's finish this. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. The word there, without ceasing, is incessantly. Prayer is on my mind. You can pray going down the road. Did you know that? You don't close your eyes, but you can pray. And can I tell you something else? Many, many times, prayer is listening. It's listening. To who? To the Master. He's got a whole lot more to say than I do. Don't go to your friends for help. Go to the Lord, pray and seek, and if he guides you to someone, then you go. Go to him. Put him on the front porch of your life and live it for his glory. In everything give thanks, this is the will of God for you. Remember now, 11 times in this passage, the word you is there. This message today is for you. It's not for the next guy. It's for you. Look what he says. Do not quench the spirit. In other words, the word means don't treat it with contempt. The spirit speaking and working, you may not particularly like that fashion of how he's working, but if the spirit's there, it's evident you let him work. Don't quench it. How do you quench it? Complaining? Griping? Whining? Not a coming? Not praying? I believe this with all my heart. If the church will begin to pray, the church will change. Pray for your pray this week as you move into Monday. Begin to pray for next Sunday and what God wants to do. What should I pray? God, we want to come next Sunday and you show up. Your presence is most important. Lord, let me pass by someone this week that I can invite to church, that I can encourage. I can call someone that hasn't been coming. Listen, this Christian life must be proactive. We're seeking what he wants us to seek. What did he do? He said, I came to seek that which was lost. you know someone that used to go to church? If you love them, no matter how upset they might get with you, no matter whether they're your grandkids or whether your children or whether it's your mother-in-law or whoever, if you go to them in love and say something to them because you love them and invite them and encourage them to get back in church and get right fellowship with the Lord, and they get upset about that, hallelujah. At least they know that you care. Write someone a card. Write them a note and say, you know, I've just been thinking about you this week, and I just want you to know that I love you, care about you. Is there anything I can do for you? Name, send it. The church must be a ministering body. What he says, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterance. Don't despise the word. What does Hebrews 4:12 say? You know the verse? The word is sharp and active and cutting as a two-edged sword. Be praising God if the word of God is cutting you. Because that's the only way you can get well. Is that it cuts you. Shows you. You look in the mirror, and this is me. And the word cuts. Does it not? Yes, it does. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. The word there literally means treat with contempt. To treat with contempt. I love to preach, but this preacher loves to hear preaching. Not all preaching. Preaching that is from the book, lifted from the page. I want to hear it. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Let me ask you a question. Some of you might think a few things I said today is a little rough, a little difficult. But what if Jeremiah showed up next Sunday? What if Amos showed up next Sunday? I guarantee you what Amos would do. He'd empty the place. These guys were tough as nails. And they had to be because somebody was after them all the time. I encourage you to listen to the Word of God, not just on Sunday. You want to be blessed? You want to be encouraged? You get on your YouTube and you listen to Paul Washer. That's P-A-U-L, W-A-S-H-E-R, Paul Washer. You listen to him. Go listen. Someone else that maybe you like a little better, listen to David Jeremiah. He's biblical. He's on course. Listen, you can go online and you can pick up old guys from old. You can go and even pick up a guy like W.A. Criswell. Listen to him. Manly Beasley. Guys of old that were just cut it. Search it out. Somebody you want to listen to, you go listen to them. Do not despise prophetic utterance. Examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good, truth. Abstain from every form of evil. Verse 23, now may God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been made holy. You're hagios. You're set apart by God, for God, to the praise of his glory. If you're his child, walk with him. Live for him. Love him. Share him. Be the church wherever you go. Be the church. Be the church. And God will bless you because of it. He closes with this. Faithful is he who calls you. God's faithful, isn't he? Never a time he's not faithful. He's always faithful. He also will bring it to pass. And then Paul writes and says, brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. be with you. And may it be with you. As you take, if you just take three principles out of this and impart them on a daily basis, pray without ceasing, all things give thanks, and rejoice evermore, life will change. Life will change. Here's the question. Are you growing in grace? Or you think, well, I've run the race pretty good. I'm just going to casual my way to glory. No. No. He wants you, and his church needs you to step up, step out, and do all that God's asked you to do. And three things are very simple that he's asked you to do. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And all things give thanks. Walk in him. Paul said in Ephesians 4:1, walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Will you take these principles and apply them? That's the question. When we went to school, we had homework. I hated homework. I didn't do most of mine. And when I got to college at age 27, it was very evident that I had not done most of mine. You have homework. It's assigned by the Creator. Study to show thyself approved, a good workman, unashamed, dividing the word rightly. 2 Timothy 2:15. Lean on him. Trust him. Obey him. Start today living what you know. Living what you know for his glory. Father, I pray today that you have been glorified above all. I pray that the word would find lodging place in the hearts of your true people. I pray, Lord, that you would fall fresh on this place. God, that you would bring new people, people that need Christ, people that want to serve, people that want to learn, people that want to grow, and see a church unified, mastered by you, led by you, and loved by you. Praise you, Lord, for who you are, your goodness and your grace, and for your word. May it truly find a lodging place in the hearts of many today. And we give you praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let us put our hands together for the man of God who has brought an on-time word. You know, I sat down there and I listened to Pastor Ed. Pastor Ed, if you wouldn't mind, will you come down front and receive anyone who decides to make a proper response to the gospel message? I sat down there and I realized, you know, even the world recognizes this idea that you are what you eat. Have y'all ever heard that before? You are what you eat. It's if you eat a lot of bad stuff, that bad stuff is going to affect your life. As a matter of fact, they tell me that the bad stuff you eat will end your life. And here it is, Pastor Ed has come and spoken correctly. We're not just to come to church, but we are to eat, digest, ingest, however you want to put it, the word of God that we might be the church. How can we be the church? We have to ingest the word of God. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Well, I just want you to know that it is an amazing thing that we get to be together. And God has allowed us to see almost clean through 2025. And that alone is a reason to be grateful. Let me say that we all get an opportunity to participate right now. And I would ask that every time that we come to the Lord's house, that we would bring an offering and let the Lord know that we're going to give sacrificially to his church to support the ministry that's going on here at North Oaks. And I thank you in advance for being faithful stewards to this body of believers. And to you who've joined us online, thank you as well. And I would also like to extend the opportunity for you to give and to bless our ministry, that we can continue to champion the gospel, the only thing that can transform a man's life. And if you look at your screen right now, there will be a QR code appearing. Hover your phone over there, scan that, and it will take you to where you can give securely to this ministry. I love pastoring North Oaks Baptist Church, because here at North Oaks, we are shining the light and glorifying the Father. Come on, Chris.
Okay, our closing today is out of Psalm 121. And when I first started looking at this, I thought, okay, I'll read verses 7 and 8. Psalm 121. And then the more I read, the more I said, you know, I really need to add, thank you for standing up. I really need to add verse 6 to 7 and 8. And so I read verse 6, 7, and 8, and then I read it some more, and I said, I think I need to start at verse 5. The good news is I stopped at verse 1. I didn't go into Psalm 120 and 119. But just listen to these words, Psalm 121. This is one of my favorite psalms. And just let these words just sink in. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. See you in 2026. You're dismissed.